I need your prayers tonight. I don't, nor do I have the desire to select an audience for a sermon. I believe that God's Holy Spirit is more than able to direct His Word where He would have it to go. But I will tell you tonight where my burden lies. And I've been thinking since last night, you know, we're thankful to see those that have made their way to the altar and have sought the Lord. And I'm encouraged by that. And so I would say if you're lost, keep seeking. Seek on. But it when one leaves an altar unsatisfied, there's always, we want to hear them stand up and testify of the saving grace of God is what we desire. But I begin to think about that, and we find in the Scripture, and it's what I'll read, a time when a lady came to the Lord with real trouble, and she did not find the help that she needed immediately. And she didn't turn and she didn't go away, but she kept on. And she still didn't find the help she needed, but she kept on. And she still didn't find it. Nothing went like she thought it was going to go, but she knew there was one source of help. And she continued there. And you know what? I'll go ahead and tell you the end before the beginning. She found the help that she needed. So if you're here and lost, if you're here tonight, and if you've ever once began to make your approach into God and have not yet been saved, you're who's been on my heart ever since last night. And not to say that this message is just for you, but if that's you, I've been thinking about you and praying about you all day. And so if you sought last night or the night before or last week or 10 years ago or whenever, and you've not been saved, you need to get going towards the Lord is what you need to do. Now we'll take our scripture reading tonight from the Gospel of Matthew in the 15th chapter. You'll also find this in Mark chapter 7. And honestly, to get a real understanding of all that goes on here, you need to read them both. And so you can go back and do that sometime, but we'll read from Matthew tonight. If I refer to something that's not directly in the text here, if you'll flip over to Mark, you'll find it there. Matthew in the 15th chapter in the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. She said, Truth, Lord. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I'll stop there with my mistakes. That's verses 21 through 28 of Matthew chapter number 15. Now we find here, let me give you a little of what's gone on leading up to this. If you turn back into the 14th and 15th chapters of this gospel, you find that our Lord has gone into the country, the land of Gennesaret there. And the Bible tells us that a great multitude of people were brought into Him, people that were diseased and people that had all kinds of infirmities. And I like what the Bible says that Jesus did with them. It says, as many as touched Him were made perfectly whole. I'm satisfied tonight that there are those in this house that have real trouble. You may have trouble in your flesh. I'm sorry about that if that's the case. But I'm satisfied there's those that are here that have trouble in their soul. You're separated from God and bound for a devil's hell, bound for a place of eternal destruction, bound for the wrath of God that abides upon you this very moment. But I have good news tonight. The Bible said there as many as touched Him were made perfectly whole. I want to tell you tonight, sinner friend, you can be made perfectly whole. That's good news tonight. And so the Lord, He's there in Gennesaret, and He's healing people, making people whole. And as it seems like it always is, when good things begin to come and God begins to do His work, the enemy always shows up and begins to resist. And in chapter 15, you find the Pharisees, they showed up there. And the Lord's been healing people. And they show up and they begin to accuse Him there because His disciples ate with unwashed hands. They weren't concerned with the people that He had healed there, undoubtedly the souls that He had saved. All they were concerned about was the traditions of their fathers. All they were concerned about was that His disciples were eating in a manner that they didn't think was befitting or becoming of them. And the Lord begins to, you can't outsmart God. Did you know that? Jesus begins to turn their argument upside down. And He teaches them there that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Why is that? Because what comes out of the mouth is a product of what is in the heart, you see. We don't do good works to get salvation, but what comes out of us is a product of what is inside. A good tree bears good fruit, you see. Some trees bear a lot of fruit. Some trees bear a little fruit. You ought to be one that wants to bear a lot of fruit. But I'll tell you what I do. A lot of people that I know say they've been saved by the grace of God, and had I not heard their testimony, all of their life would tell me that they're a hell-bound lost sinner. I'll say there's something bad wrong with that picture there. One way or the other, they're either living on a false testimony or they're very backslidden. Either way, they need the Lord, do they not? But Jesus began to explain that. They were legalists is what they were. They were trying to buy and earn and work their way into salvation. Sinner friend, I know this morning, this night, whatever it is, you have friends that are caught up in legalism. You have friends that they've been baptized, and because of that, they'll tell you they're going to heaven. They've done this and given that and been through these rites and passages, and they'll tell you that they're good. And we tell you, you've got to be a mourner and a beggar before God. And maybe it doesn't add up in your mind, but I want you to know that Satan's trick from long ago, telling people that they can work their way in. Your friends that are counting on a baptism, they're going to hell. Your friends that are counting on good works, they're going to hell. What I'm here to tell you tonight is the same thing Jesus told them. You can't polish the outside of the cup. You got to get the inside of the cup clean. And then you can worry about get polishing on the outside. If you're lost here tonight, do you know what's inside of your cup tonight? A dead, rotten, dying soul. Jesus begins to, He just turns their argument upside down there. And as far as I can tell, I don't know. I do know this. Our Lord was absolutely God, and He also was absolutely man. 100% of both. How does that work? I don't know. My brain doesn't quite work like that, but that's true. He was absolutely God and absolutely man. So He deals with this. He's healed all these people. He's turned away the Pharisees. And then the Bible, it tells us there that He retired. He turned away. He went into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And in Mark's gospel, it tells us He went into the house of a man, basically where He wouldn't be found. I think they were tired. I think His disciples needed a little spiritual rest. Sometimes you got to take a little time. I don't mean be lazy, but sometimes you need to take a little time and get along with the Lord. Do a little praying, a little studying. You can get this world will beat you down where you'll be absolutely useless in the meeting tonight. There are those here tonight that put in a hard day's work, and I'm not trying to belittle that. You need to work. If you find yourself getting brought down to where you're worthless, you ought to take a little time and get alone with God and get a little rest. And so the Lord, He did that. And Mark tells us over there that He went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But then Mark says, but He could not be hid. He could not be hid. You know what? You can't hide Him tonight. He's that glorious. If someone can look upon you and He's hidden in you, well, then you need to polish the outside of your cup a little bit. If your inside's clean, let's go on with this. So He goes into the coast of Tyre and Sidon And here we find this little woman that I want to preach to you about tonight. This is an account. This actually happened. This is actually about her. But listen, it's also about you, sinner friend. So you listen to the word of God. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast." Mark tells us a little more, tells us she was a Greek. Mark tells us she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was a Syrian woman from Phoenicia. She was a Greek. She was a Canaanite. She was all of those things. What does that mean? It means, let's start with she was a Canaanite. It means she was cursed. You can go back into the book of Genesis and you'll find there Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth. And Ham had a son there named Canaan. And after the flood, Ham went in and saw his father. Noah had got drunk and was laying there uncovered in his nakedness and his shame. And Ham had came in and saw him, and he ran and told his other brothers. And Noah was angered with him. And that was Ham, and Ham's son was named Canaan. And in his anger there, Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan," is what he said. "Cursed be Canaan." And listen, you can study it out. I know you've all heard of the Canaanites, but that curse, it followed them. Those people were the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people about as long as you'll read about them. She was cursed. We live in a society today that everybody wants to be a victim, do they not? And I'm not belittling anybody that's came. I'm very fortunate in what I came from. And probably most of you are too. And I'm not trying to talk down on anybody who didn't have it as good as me. But I want you to hear me today. Whether you had the best of everything in a worldly sense, plus you were brought up rocked in the Baptist cradle and you've heard this all your life, or whether you're born in some faraway land void of the gospel, is one a little closer to the gospel than the other? Yes, but both will stand before God. Whatever your case is, listen, you can't play the victim card to God. The Bible tells me that even His creation, there's enough of His glory built into His creation that every which one of you and all of them out there are without excuse. Without excuse, friend. You'll stand before Him. But she was cursed. Can I tell you tonight, sinner friend, you're cursed. Do you know that? You're cursed. Why? Same reason this Canaanite woman was cursed. Your bloodline is cursed, you see. You're a descendant. Your great, 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 great granddaddy, his name was Adam. He was the first man. You know what he did? He rebelled against God, broke God's law. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and all will die. Why? Because all have sinned. You are a sinner, and you will die. Why? Because it's in your blood. You're a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by your actions. You're a sinner by choice. You like it, and your flesh wants to sin more. You're a sinner. You're cursed. You're going to die, sinner friend. You're cursed. Listen, not only was she cursed because of her bloodline, she was cursed, in a sense, because of her culture. The Bible there in Mark, it tells us she was a Greek. You know what the Greeks liked? The Greeks liked what Americans like today. They liked sports. They made a god of sports. Did they not? The Greeks liked the satisfaction of the flesh. Immorality like you've never seen. Seems like this comes up in every sermon I preach, but I'm tired of God's people, Baptist people, caught up in filth and immorality. God set forth a pattern. One man, one woman, one union for one lifetime. Oh, we're throwing that out the window everywhere we go. Even in the churches, even among the ordained. Woo! Oh, let's preach it tonight. How about that? Oh, we got to uphold the standards. But the Greeks were filthy is what they were. Sports, filth, wisdom, you see. They were all about wisdom. You know what God thinks about man's wisdom? He scoffs at it. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. 1 Corinthians somewhere. But anyway, she was of a cursed bloodline, and her culture, you see, scoffed at God. Your culture, sinner friend, I know you grow up in a place that tells you that all that matters is the good of the land. All that matters is your 401k in the sports and the fun, fun, fun. Listen, in spite of your bloodline, in spite of your culture, you'll stand before the righteous judge. This woman had trouble. She had a lot of trouble. And you know what? By the grace and the mercy of God, she found some more trouble. It's the trouble I'm going to tell you about that brought her to Jesus. You know, that's how God... Listen, He's God. There's no power outside of his power. Any power that anyone else has is because God has allowed them to have it. Did you know that? That's even true for Satan. Did you know that? That's true. Listen, this woman, she had a problem. What was her problem? Her daughter was vexed with a devil. Her daughter was demon-possessed. And you say that's a blessing, preacher? Listen, it's going to be a blessing before it gets over with. You know, the best blessings in my life, if I sit here and think about them, just about every one of them takes me back to a very dark hour. I praise God for the night that he finally just crushed my soul. Amen. I'll tell you this. Some of you little children, you're so fortunate to have been brought up right here. It's all you've ever heard. It's all you ever know. Wasn't the case for me. Wasn't the case for me. You know, my daddy came up in a place where they taught baptism for salvation. My mom had been saved as a little girl, and I don't know all the circumstances, but in spite of that, that's where I was being raised up. We look down our noses at people like that, but you know what? I read about the Galatians. He said, who's bewitched you, you see? It's happened before. You ain't careful, it'll happen to you. But listen, I was growing up. I was a little boy sitting in a place that was going to teach me to be baptized and live a good life. And by the grace of God, you know what happened? That building burnt down. Praise God. I learned just this year. I've told this somewhere. There's a man died in that fire, trying to put that fire out. I learned this year that man had been saved by the grace of God. Praise God. Amen. Burnt that building to the ground. We went across the street. A place that practices heresy today, they will tell you that if they wrote the gospel on paper, it would be accurate. But when it comes down to how they practice it, they're in the ditch, you see. But by the grace of God, I heard enough of the truth there that I was not in church when he got a hold of me. And they had never told me to call on God. But what do you do when you're that age and you're under conviction and you've been told to run to the preacher and there's no preacher around? By the grace of God, I was able to call on the Lord. And I got saved, real deal saved. Now listen, that place out there, I'll get mad if I'm not careful. Not in a godly sense. I'll get mad about it. But listen, I praise him. Why? Because I got saved in spite of all of that wickedness. You see, my daddy in 2020 fell out of a tree, almost died. Was laying on the ground bleeding to death with internal bleeding. Awful, terrible. They flew him to Nashville, finally got him patched up. And you know what? This year he got cancer real bad and he died. But you know what happened to him when he fell out of that tree? He came to just long enough after hearing all this Baptist preaching that by the grace of God he was brought into. He called on the Lord and got saved under that tree. And I had the great privilege to baptize him and my mother. But listen, we look at things that are just awful, and then we step back a few years later and look, and the whole time, maybe the circumstance was bad, but it was the grace of God that had brought you there, sinner friend. This is what I'm trying to get to. I know it hurts to be lost. I know you don't like listening to the preacher. I know you don't like the altar call. I know you don't like the shouting of the saints, but listen, that trouble you've got in your soul, that is the grace of God. Paul said it's the goodness of God that led me to repentance. So when he knocks on your heart tonight and you want to run, just understand that if you run, you're despising the goodness of God. You're turning your back on the greatest gift that you've been given thus far in your life. Him seeking out you to save your soul. But this woman, her daughter, she was possessed with a devil. You know what the Bible says there? Maybe it's in Matthew or maybe it's in Mark. It said when she had heard about Jesus. She had heard about the men he'd been healing, heard about the souls he'd been saving, I guess. We know from the New Testament that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why, listen, when I come to preach and we have a good testifying service, that's great. But unless God tells me to sit down and hush, I'm going to get up and preach. Now listen, he chose preaching, you understand, to be the primary means by which the gospel would go forth. And so when these brethren get up and they preach to you the word of God, listen to me, saved and lost alike, you ought to honor the preaching and the word of God. That's what you ought to do. Oh, we're guilty. Other day, an Amber Alert happened. This is at Hogan's Creek, you see. And an Amber Alert went out. Do you know what happened in the church house there? Well, because there was little idols all over the church house. Turn them off, you see. Any distraction, you need to cut it off. That's what you ought to do. Oh, you're so distracted. I preached this the other night, I think. But we are distracted in this place, in this hour. The lost sinners right now are distracted. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But listen, she had trouble. She had heard. And so she came to Jesus there. And this is what I want to get to. I'll try to tell you what I came to tell you. When I get done, I'll sit down. But listen, she comes there. And she came and she cried. She cried out, Jesus, O Lord, thou Son of David. Mark's gospel tells us that when she came, she fell at his feet. And this is what I'm trying to get to. This woman had a real problem. Sinner friend, you've got a real problem. She'd heard about a real Savior. She came to him. She didn't come arrogantly. She came in a humble manner as far as her body was concerned. She came reverencing him. She came acknowledging not just that he was a good man or a good teacher or some kind of a healer. She came acknowledging him as the divine Son of God. Thou Son of David, she said. She acknowledged him as the Messiah. And there she was coming to Jesus, coming down low, looking up to him, acknowledging that he's God and that she's a sinner. And she cries out and says, have mercy on me. Does that sound familiar? We've seen it this week, have we not? And what did Jesus do? I read it to you. It said he answered her, not a word. You know, there's a whole world out here that the simple desire to be saved, they count that as salvation. If they're willing to walk down the aisle, that's good enough. I'm showing you in the Word of God a woman who came to Jesus, acknowledging his deity, acknowledging her brokenness, came humble, looking up to him. You know what he did? He ignored her. Ignored her. I got ignored when I first began to call on God. Why? Because I was trusting in the words of a prayer that I'd been taught as a boy. Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner, yada, yada, yada. Ignored me night after night, morning after morning. Ignored, ignored, ignored. I was hurting. I knew he was the king. I was trying to be humble, but my trust was in the words of some other man. Listen, he is not interested in saving souls quickly. He's interested in saving souls correctly, you see. Sinner friend, if you've been lost for a while seeking the Lord and you've not found him yet, it's not his fault. It's because you failed to repent of your sin and trust in him and him alone, the saving of your soul. One instant of trusting in him from the heart, and you're a heaven-bound child of the King. So she comes, and he answered her not a word. And then the disciples there, I was sitting here or there last night, and I was praying, Lord, save that young man. Not for save that those two little girls. Save him. His disciples said, Lord, send her away. Now they weren't, I think I studied that wrong for a long time. I don't think they were saying, Lord, get her out of here. Don't save her. I think they were saying, Lord, just fix her problem so you can send her on her way because she's crying after us. We came here for rest. She's making all this racket. Oh, Lord, help me. And listen, she's going to draw a crowd. We came for rest. They're saying, Jesus, just heal her. We know you can do it. That's what I was saying. Lord, save them. I know you can do it. But he answered and said, she's still there. She's still at his feet. She's in earshot. She's talking. She hears. He has ignored her. They begin to talk about her right there beside of her. His disciples are saying, Lord, just help her so we can get on with her. And the Lord says, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not her time yet. I'm not come for her just yet. Well, listen, she's come. Can you imagine what it, I know it takes a lot for a sinner to get up from their seat and come to an altar. It took a lot for her to come there. And now she's got ignored. And now the Lord has said, I'm not come for her kind just yet. Listen, about every lost sinner I think I've seen in the last year, right then and there, they'd have been up off an altar, out that back door, going down the street to the yada, whatever group you want, somebody that would not turn them away. Why? Because sinners have a lot of pride about them. Lord, I'm going to come to you when I'm ready on my terms. I'm going to bow right there. I'm going to give you 30 minutes of praying. If you hadn't saved my soul, I'll be out the door and I'll find some other way. Is that you, sinner friend? Have you made your demands of God? And when God did not bow to your demands, you decided that, listen, you know what you've done? You've made yourself God. And you're telling him to bow to you. He never will. Never will. He's God. You're the beggar. He's the king. And you are destitute, you see. He said, I'm not come, but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did she get up and run out? Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, when we pray, if you'll listen, most of what we do is ask for help. When we praise, most of what we do is we thank him for what he's done. But when we worship, we adore him for who he is. This woman, she came. He's ignored her. He said to those people that were over there beside her, he said, I'm not come for her kind just yet. And you know what she does? She doesn't get mad. She doesn't get angry. She falls down and she begins to worship him. Lord, you don't have to help me. Lord, you don't even have to look at me. Oh, but while I'm here, I recognize that you're God and that you're worthy. And so I'll praise you either way. Why? Because her gaze, it was turned from inside, and her gaze was turned to the heavens, you understand. She began to worship him there. She began to worship him. She began to worship him. This whole time, she'd been looking inside. Lord, I need help. Lord, what can I do? Lord, why haven't you saved me yet? Lord, I've snotted up and down this bench. My sleeves are wet with my tears. And he's ignored her. He's turned to the people beside her. And he said, I'm not come for her yet. And in spite of that, she falls down and begins to worship him. And do you know what happened? He heard her and he turned to her. Church Hilltop, if you want to shake the bowels of glory tonight, worship him. Amen. Worship him. She began to worship him. And do you know what he did? He turned to her. He recognized her. He heard her. Why? Because she turned her focus unto him. Amen. Turned her focus unto him. Amen. What did he say? Listen, I'm not done yet. Did he say, all right, welcome in, child? No. He didn't say that. Why? He had to bring her to a place of repentance and faith from the heart. She wasn't there yet. Wasn't there yet. But she's got his attention now. Sinner friend, if you'll come to him, what do I do, preacher? There's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. What you're looking for is not inside of you. What you're looking for was nailed to a tree 2,000 years ago. And what you'll have to do is look unto him, you see. She began to worship him. And he turned to her, recognized her. He said, it is not meet. It's not fitting. It's not proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. The last time I tried to preach in this text, I remember saying this. I'll say it again. Most places today wouldn't let the Lord preach in their pulpit. They wouldn't. Wouldn't tolerate him. He looked at this woman who's on the ground begging. She is actively worshiping him, crying out for mercy, you see. He's finally recognized her and he said, you are a dog. That's what he said. Why? Because she was a dog. Sinner friend, if you're ever going to get saved, you're going to have to get to the place that she got and I got and all these saints got. They got to the place that they understood that they were a dog in the master's house. They were a dirty, rotten, flea-bitten scoundrel of a dog that was worthy of a bullet and be thrown in the ditch. He said, you're a dog. And all across the world today, sinners would say, I'm not a dog. How dare you talking to me like that? I'm good. I'm great. My mama told me I was good. Sinner friend, you're wretched. You're naked. You're destitute. You have nothing. You're a dog. You're a dog. There she was in the midst of all that. And by the grace of God, she was able not only to see who he was and the sufficiency of him, but she was able for the first time to see who she was. You know what she said? Truth, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. I'm worthless. I have nothing. I'm not worthy. You ought to kill me right now. I've got two dogs, and they're dogs. They're filthy. In the pond, in the cow paws, in the grass, matted up, nasty. They stink. They're filthy. I'd fight a man for them dogs. I love them dogs. She said, truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. 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 Truth, Lord. Yes, I'm a dog. Oh, God. But I've seen the dogs under the king's table, and they eat the king's food. He looks down upon them in their miserable estate, and he has mercy upon them. And just like I do when I'm eating outside, those dogs are a-begging. And every time, be it a cracker or be it a steak, they're getting a bite. Why? Because I love them. Oh, and they begged me for it. She said the truth, Lord. But even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, Oh, woman. Oh, woman. Great. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Listen to me tonight. Sinner friend, I want you to hear me. The conditions of the gospel are repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you stay with me for just a minute and I'll sit down. I'm glad that we've seen what at least appears to be, and I can't see your soul, but what appears to be godly sorrow working among those that are lost here this week. I'm thankful we've seen the tears, heard the cries. The Bible teaches that godly sorrow worketh or leads to, brings about repentance. Godly sorrow is not of itself repentance. Godly sorrow is godly sorrow, and it's necessary to bring you to a place of repentance. But I want you to hear me tonight. You can cry on an old-fashioned moaner's bench in a Baptist church until the Lord comes back, cry and weep and shout and beg, and die and go to hell. Why? Because sorrow is not repentance. What is repentance then? Well, repentance is it's the position of the heart. Repentance is the turning of the heart from self unto Christ. Repentance is all of your life. You've wanted me, 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 me. Lord, fix, satisfy me. Repentance is getting to the place where you see yourself as a dog and you're able to say, Lord, oh, I've got nothing. I have no works, no merit, no deeds to make me worthy. Oh, but God, I don't want any more of that, and I just want to be saved. That's repentance. You know what faith is? You know what faith is. Faith is believing. The Bible teaches me this. I think it was Martha there. I think it was Martha that Lazarus had died. Let me just find it. I think it's John 11. Lazarus had died in John 11. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. That's how we know. Martha was a Baptist. You know that? She believed in a general judgment and a general resurrection. In the last day there, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Listen to me, sinner friend. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Sinner friend, you're heartbroken. You got turmoil. Listen, you're saying, what can I do? What can I pray? What can I offer up? The answer is absolutely nothing. All you can do is look into Jesus and see that crucified Son of God there at Calvary's cross and the precious, spotless, unblemished blood that was shed there on Calvary's cross. And the Word of God tells you that if you will turn from yourself and trust totally and completely from the heart and the blood that He shed, that He'll save your soul. And I can promise you with all assurity on the authority of that book and from my own experience that when you give up on yourself and trust in Him and Him alone, oh, that sweet peace of the Spirit of God will blow through your soul. And you can know that you've been saved by His grace. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. Take up residence in your soul. His Spirit will bear witness with yours that you are a child of God. Oh. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Why did that woman get saved there that night? Day, she got to the end of herself, saw herself for who she was, saw him in all of his glory, understood who he is and how sufficient his sacrifice was. She trusted in him. He healed her daughter. I tell you what I believe. I believe he healed her soul at the same time. Why? Great is thy faith. You know, faith is a gift. She didn't have any faith except he gave it to her. I believe he saved her soul. Sinner friend, are you here tonight? You got trouble in your soul? Have you been to this altar once, twice, 100 times and went away sorrowful? Have you called out to the master of the universe only to have him answer you not a word? Sinner, I'd say keep seeking. Seek on, you see. You know, God is absolutely brilliant. He knows everything. And I can tell you this, God draws sinners. He draws them. Who's he drawing them to? Himself. He draws them to the Son by his Spirit, you see. What do I do, preacher? I don't know. But you know what God does? And God brings sinners to a place, hey, if you'll just trust in him and seek him, he'll bring you to a place where you finally have nothing else to do. And it's there in the darkness of that hopeless place you'll find that the glory of the cross you'll see is so sufficient. If you're lost, won't you come? I can promise you, if you'll come to him that way, repentant, believing, he'll save your soul. Brother, will you get us a song? Come, saints, worship him. He's worthy. He's worthy. I'm done, brother. Go ahead.